Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study is taught here at Roland Springs Baptist Church, and we are now in 2 Corinthians, and today we are in Lesson 10, which is the last lesson in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll be studying chapters 12 and 13. So let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, Lord of all creation, without beginning, without end, you are the great I Am. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we praise you, Father, because you are holy and righteous God. And we pray that your Holy Spirit that dwells in each of our hearts as believers, that we will be taught today through him, the Holy Spirit, that we will know you more and that you may use us, Father, for your honor and your glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, as we are getting at the close of our study in 2 Corinthians, we want to review what we have studied so that we can bring it all together in our study today in the last two chapters, chapters 12 and 13. So what have we learned? This letter was written by Paul, and it was written to the church at Corinth, and Paul had helped establish the church. He had been pastor there at one time, and he made a couple of journeys, and he was intending to come to them again. So let's look at chapters 1 through 7. This part of our study, Paul referred to his relationship with the Corinthians. And he had asked them to make room in their hearts for Timothy and him. And Paul warned them about being bound or unequally yoked with unbelievers, and to be caught up in adultery. So then, as we studied chapters 8 and 9, the second segment in Corinthians, that segment, chapters 8 and 9, we learned that it was about giving. And Paul had encouraged the Corinthians to complete what they had begun a year before. And he had sent Titus again to encourage their work. And then in chapters 10 and 11, Paul goes back to his strained relationship with the Corinthians. And he exposes even more of what was going on there. And then he referred to war and contrast between the false apostles of Satan and himself. And he said that a true apostle was appointed by God. So as we go on in chapters 12 and 13, these two chapters are a continuation of the segment that began in chapter 10. From 11 to 12 is a continued subject of boasting in Paul's experience. So we want to read now the first 10 verses of chapter 12. And this is the NIV translation of the Word of God. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up in the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, let's look at these first 11 verses. How then are they continuing from chapter 11? This continued the list of Paul boasting in his weaknesses that began in 11:16. His apostleship had been challenged, and he responded here in verses 1 through 15 about false apostles. And we know that he started this by boasting in visions and revelations of the Lord from 14 years before. The man that had been in the vision that he saw, he said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, that man was a vision of himself. And we know in this, he goes on to say that he was caught up in the third heaven into paradise. But he couldn't tell what he had heard because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. And because of this, he was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from exalting himself or becoming conceited, the thing that false apostles were doing. And the thorn is described here as a messenger from Satan to harass him. And as we read in these verses, we saw that he went to the Father, he went to the Lord, and asked him three different times to remove this thorn, that was compelling him. But God said to him that his grace was sufficient and his power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, Paul boasted about his weakness Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what this thorn was, but we know that it was something that inflicted his body that would keep him from boasting about himself and to give all the glory to God. Now, there are some scriptures that we see in cross-reference. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. And it says in that verse, "Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So here it's experiencing Satan's control can teach people lessons they need to know. And in Paul's prayer, he had prayed that Hymenaeus and Alexander, because of their sin, would be delivered to Satan so that they could learn about their sin and their blasphemy. Now then, let's go further and do a cross-reference in the book of Job. We know the man of Job suffered and went through a lot of trial. Quickly, I'm going to read these 10 verses, or the 6 verses, in Job 2, 1 through 6. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause.' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" So here we see that Satan had to have the Lord's permission to touch his servant Job. So we know that adversity or evil, along with good, comes from God and does not have to lead to sin. Now, let's look at Philippians in the New Testament. In Philippians, we see that Paul himself said in the 4th chapter, in the 13th verse of Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Paul knew that God's strength, and he lived accordingly. And this verse is quoted a lot by many believers. So we know that we can trust in God. Whenever we are weak, he makes us strong. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is one of Paul's prayers for his believers. In verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and he also prayed it for us, and we should pray it for one another. Now, looking at verses 11 through 13 of 2 Corinthians 12, let's read these verses so that we can continue in our study. Verse 11, this is 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been condemned by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance, by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, what he wrote here, we see how that he became foolish and why. He wrote that he was compelled, or he was forced by the Corinthians to be foolish, although they should have commended him. He was not an inferior apostle, and they had seen him display the signs of a true apostle. And in verse 13, we see that his foolishness was boasting, and verse 13, reasons in foolishness. He didn't treat them as inferior, favor them any less than anyone, and he wasn't a burden to them when he was there. He also used sarcasm when asking forgiveness. So Paul didn't make himself a burden to these Corinthians here at Corinth. He was saying that I made myself foolish before you, but I did that I might become an inferior. He said, I'm not inferior to God, but I am to you. And we see as we go on further the subject of this point. So let's read verses 14 through 21. Here, for this third time, I am already come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Certainly, I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take any advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? All this time you've been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. And let me finish out with verse 20 and 21. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, the immorality, the sensuality which they have practiced. So let's look at these verses here. We see here that he had planned to go to Corinth again and again and would not be burdened to them, that he would be there to support them. And Paul was the parent of the Lord, and he cared for them, and he asked them to love him. Not only did he not take advantage of them, but neither did any of the men that he had sent. Titus and the brother went to them in the same spirit as Paul did. And they expended themselves for the Corinthians to build them up. And he knew what kind of servant that Titus and the brother were. We studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul had written the Corinthians before about the company that they kept. And here verse 20 states Paul's fear that he wouldn't find them as he wanted, or that they wouldn't find him as they wanted. He didn't want to cause sorrow when he went to them the third time. But he wouldn't spare them if they continued in their sin. Paul's purpose was to upbuild and encourage them. And he also, it was his purpose to warn them against their sins. And he listed certain sins in these verses. And he didn't want them to deal with any of these. When he got there, he didn't want to have to deal with it. And the humiliation that he wrote about was connected with their sins. He said that he wouldn't be humiliated if they were not living as they should have been, because he looked at himself as their parent. He was teaching them the Word of God. Now, what do we see would be a theme for this chapter in 2 Corinthians 12? We find that here what Paul was trying to get to them was a message about God's grace. So his grace is sufficient. And that would be a good title to use for that 12th chapter. Now, let's go forward into Second Corinthians 13th chapter, verses 1 through 4. We'll just start with those first four verses. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have previously said, when present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past, to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Since you are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For indeed, he, Christ, was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. So we find in these verses in chapter 13 the key words that tell us about what Paul is writing about is Christ and God and power. And we saw that in these first four verses. Going back to 12:21, that verse Paul mentions those who sinned in the past and haven't repented. And then verse 2 here refers to those who sinned in the past before. But here, it includes all the others. And these verses are about confronting sin. Verse 2 and 3 are, as we see in that very first verse, two or three witnesses confirm a fact. So that was a quote from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. So Paul told them in advance that he wouldn't spare anyone and he would show them the power of Christ in him if he had to confront their sin. And he also told them that unrepented sins bring on more sin and it causes division in the church and eventually death. So, what are these verses about? It's about Jesus, the gospel, and his death and resurrection. It's talking in verse 4 about weakness and power. Jesus died in weakness, but he was raised in power. So, Paul said that he was weak in the flesh, but he was strong in spirit. So that's true in each of us as believers. A sin brings weakness and death, but God's power is over sin, and it leads to life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we learned that Jesus' resurrection showed God's power over sin and death. And also, it says that the same as what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:17. So what power do we as believers have? We have the power of God, the same as they had in that day. Same God, and it's the same power. And it's given to us today through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Now, let's look at verses 5 through 10. But, okay, starting with verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now, we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we do nothing against the truth, but only the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but are strong. This we also pray, that you may be made complete. And then he says in verse 10, for this reason I am writing these things while absent, so that when present, I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. So what are Paul's instructions and what does he say is the result? He tells them, and he's speaking to us as believers also. He says to test yourselves and see if you are in the faith, to examine yourselves. And he says, failing the test means that you're not saved. So Jesus Christ is not within the person who fails. And the Corinthians needed to test themselves and realize that Paul and Timothy didn't fail the test. They belonged to Christ Jesus. So, what had he written to them before? In chapter 6, we learned that he wrote to them that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom. Only those that have been sanctified, washed, and justified in Jesus will be in the kingdom. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he wrote to them that believers are new creatures. They're no longer living for themselves, and Christ's love controls them. And then we also learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul said, believers become righteous in him. So, what is he saying then in verses 7 through 10? So, let's look then at what he is saying here. He said that Timothy and he had prayed for them to do what was right, and that true believers do right and are approved, and they don't fail the test. So Paul and Timothy were truly saved, and they spoke the truth. And their prayer then was that all the Corinthians to be made complete. And he was concerned for how it might make him look, the way that they were living and what they were doing. And then he goes on to state his reason for writing. For this reason, he said in verse 10, while absent, not there present with you at Corinth, so that when I am present with you, I need not use severity or discipline in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not tearing down. And so let's go now forward and look at, let's see, some more scripture. I think I have some cross-reference here. The book of Acts 20, verses 2 and 3, and in the book of Romans 15, 26, 27. Let me read this cross-reference. Acts 22 and 3. Now when he had gone over the region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So Paul spent 3 months in Greece, and as he was about to leave for Syria, the Jews set a plot against him. So he went to Macedonia again. And in his letter to the church at Rome, let's see what he says. Romans 15, 26, 27. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of this spiritual things, of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. So, as he wrote to the church at Rome, he wrote about the contribution for the saints in Jerusalem given by the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, let's complete our study now in 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here we see several instructions as Paul completes the letter. He says to rejoice, to be made complete, to be comforted, to be like-minded, agree, live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. And he's speaking not only to them, but he's speaking to us the same message today, that we should rejoice over the great salvation that we have, and that we should be a complete aim for restoration. We should be comforted and like-minded, come together in peace and agree, and live in peace. And doing all of this, he says, the God of peace will be with you. So, what do we see then would be our theme for this chapter? He says, test yourselves. And I think that would be a good thing. Because we as believers need to test ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith, that we are truly believers, that we are truly sons and daughters of God. Now, this has been a wonderful, blessed study that we've had through verse Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and I pray that it won't be the end, that we will take it and that we will instill it into our minds and our hearts and our souls, and that we won't hold it there, but we'll live it out, that others may see Jesus in each of us, and continue to study in His Word and let Him speak to our hearts. So we will close in prayer and pray for one another and pray for me. We all need prayer, and we all are living in a turmoil world. So we need to be more earnest in our praying, and we need to be more earnest in our witnessing for the Lord. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word will be instilled in our minds, our hearts, and our souls. I pray, Father, that each of us will live it out to glorify your name, that all around us that we come in contact with will see Jesus and not see us. And I just pray that you will forgive us of our failings and of our sins and iniquities. And when we're weak, that you'll make us strong. And I pray, Father, that just as Jesus suffered when he walked here on this earth, and we'll never know and understand how much he suffered, I pray that we too, as believers, will suffer for his name's sake, that we will be able to share with others when they suffer. Thank you, Father, that in spite of our many failures, that you still love us, and we just can't begin to thank you for the love that Jesus had when he took all of our sins and covered them with his blood. Just use each and every one of us to glorify your name, and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.